That's an absolute podcast recording size giant drink you're drinking. What's the ounce on that?
I'm pretty sure it's the 64 ounce bladder buster from Thornton's. It's I didn't get soda, I got vitamin water, so better you for you.
64 ounces of vitamin water? That's gotta be a stupid value.
Hell yeah. That's a lot of vitamins.
Yeah, that dude, you're 64 ounces of pure vitamins.
Yeah.
Hey Ryan, it's and hey Craig, it's Saturday. We're recording a day early, but it's episode 39. TH Fantasy.
Yeah. Welcome back. Episode 39. Tony's got to do some stuff on tomorrow on Sunday, so we're recording a day early. And it's actually like technically 2 days early because we did our last episode on the 4th, which was Monday.
Yeah.
So.
And we have the day off because the one of the three social events we do all year is postponed due to COVID because everyone has fucking COVID right now.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Is it those new variants probably? I don't know.
Yeah, 90%, I think it's 89-something percent of American counties right now are at high community transmission risk.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I should probably start wearing a mask when I go to the store and stuff then.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure New York is bringing back their mask mandates, their indoor mask mandates.
Yeah, I haven't seen any signs saying anything about masks yet, but I'm sure that'll happen soon.
I know three moms right now that have COVID or have had COVID in the last week. So I'm declaring this the mom strain, the mom variant.
Okay. Well, and a little kid too, Dylan.
Yeah.
She's only 12.
Yeah. She'll be a mom someday. Maybe. I don't know. So if you get COVID, take a pregnancy test. all right. So we're wrapping up the Wests today. So you're doing Denver and Kansas City, and I've got San Francisco and Arizona.
That is right.
Yeah, let's get right after it. Do you want to start this week?
Sure, but before we start, let's go with an all-time 39. Great, an episode for episode 39, number 39. One of only three Miami Dolphins numbers to ever be retired. Number 39, Mr. Larry Zonka.
Larry Zonka.
Not only is his number retired, and not only is he, to this day, the Miami Dolphins' all-time leading rusher, he wasn't even a running back. He was a fullback.
Yeah, Super Bowl MVP, too.
Yeah. The 1972 season, he famously played with them, that they went undefeated.
Yep.
He had over 1,100 yards. And in the Super Bowl, he had 112 yards on only 15 carries.
That's a lot of yards.
Yep. Also, that 1972 season, he and Mercury Morris both rushed for over 1,000 yards, making them the first running back duo to ever do that.
Wow. And Mercury Morris also, by the way, cocaine icon, Mercury Morris.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
I mean, dude, he played in Miami in the 70s. You fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good correlation.
yeah, I'm looking it up. He was the number one overall pick, Larry Zonka.
Yeah. The other two Dolphins that were their numbers retired, obviously, are number 13, Dan Marino. That's an obvious one. And the other one is number 12, Bob Greasy. Interesting fact. I found another Bears correlation. Okay. You know, like last week, I talked about the cornerback that picked off Cutler like twice in that game.
Yeah.
So the other Bears correlation for Larry Zonka is his number was retired on December 9th, 2002, when Miami was playing the Chicago Bears.
You know, I actually, my 39 this week. Do you have any more on Larry Zonka before we move on?
No, I think that's good. Also, another famous baseball player, Clayton Kershaw. He still plays. There you go. Number 39.
A couple funny, but awkward Larry Zonka facts. In the fifth game of his rookie year, he had a concussion, spent 2 days in the hospital. 3 weeks later, he had another concussion that came with a ruptured eardrum and broken nose.
So his brain was bleeding.
There was talk he might have to give up football. He missed only 3 games.
Classic.
Like, fuck, man. That's horrible. It said when Don Shula came in 1970, he literally had to teach Larry Zonka again how to run with the football.
Wow.
Like, that's impressive from a coaching and a player, like, the will to do that shit, but it's like, man, that guy's brain must be actual mush.
It wouldn't happen nowadays.
No, thank God, because I don't want to watch someone die on the fucking field.
Right.
Good God. All right, so, anyways, my 39 is a Bear. There were a couple different things that I was looking at. You know, the Bears have a lot of players picked at pick 39. The Bears tend to pick a lot of... They had pick 39 this year. But I'm going to go with pick 39 in the 2000 NFL draft. Pick one, round one, pick 8 for the Bears was Brian Urlacher, right?
Nice.
Who was the rookie of the year, the NFL defensive rookie of the year that year. And the Bears pick at 39 was the runner-up to defensive rookie of the year that year, Mike Brown, strong safety, pick 39.
Awesome, awesome.
Mike Brown is my all-time favorite Chicago Bear.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. I was at both of the games. Those of you that aren't from Chicago, you might not remember this, but this is the most crazy shit that I've ever seen in sports. Back-to-back weeks in the 2001 NFL season, the Bears had fourth quarter comebacks, and both games were won by a Mike Brown pick six in overtime.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I was at both of those games. And I refused to leave. I was only 13 or whatever, but I went to one game with my dad and one game with my mom, which is funny because they're divorced. So it's not like we just had tickets 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
And we never left early. So I got to watch both Mike Brown pick sixes in back-to-back weeks. Like, someone from Northwestern studied it and was like, yo, you have a higher likelihood of being hit by lightning twice than for this thing to happen.
That's crazy.
Mike Brown, every time he touched the fucking ball, he was a chance to take it to the house. He played 9 years in the NFL. He had 7 defensive touchdowns in 9 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah, so he was a beast. I loved him. When I won an award that the Bears gave me, they asked me who my all-time favorite player was, and I was like, Mike Brown. And the guy that was writing it down looked at me like I had 2 fucking heads. They were waiting for me to say Walter Payton or Brian Urlacher.
Right.
But yeah, Mike Brown, pick 39. Also, let's hope that the Bears cornerback Kyler Gordon, who they took at 39, is also a fucking beast. So... those are our 39s for today.
Hell yeah, there's some good ones.
Some good 39s, but I look forward to 40 next week. We got to avoid Gale Sayers because that's easy.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe like Sean Kemp. I don't know. I don't want to spoil it.
I'll go on some deep dives. I'll look for some.
All right, cool. I can't wait. So let's talk about deep dives. Like, dive in. Lead us through Denver right now, Ryan. Take us on a smoky tour through the Denver Broncos. Right.
We're going on a Rocky Mountain Mile High tour. Through the clouds of smoke, yep. Denver, Colorado.
Wait, before you get started, you know how Russ Wilson is like a major, like, Christian, hardcore, like, goody two-shoes? Yeah. Has Russ Wilson ever been high on marijuana in his life? Yes or no?
I think he has to. That's like a Broncos, like, initiation, like hazing. You have to do a 6-foot bong before you take you to the field or your first game.
All right, so you're taking the over on 0.5 times Russ Wilson has been stoned on weed.
From 6-foot bong, yes.
Okay. All right, tell me more.
All right, so as Tony just broke the news, we have a new quarterback, finally, in Denver. I mean, Jesus, ever since Peyton Manning retired, Denver's quarterback, they just can't find a quarterback.
Right.
So let's look at Russell Wilson's numbers from last year, even though he played with that. Do you remember that finger injury he had, like week 9 or 10? Where his middle finger was like just bent sideways, and he played like that the rest of the year. So his numbers from last year aren't that great. He went 259 for 400, 64.8% completion percentage for 3,113 yards and 25 touchdowns. That's not his best season, but... let's look at the Denver Broncos quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired in 2015.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
All right. Yards per attempt, for the Broncos quarterbacks in those, what, six season span?
Sure.
6.7.
Yikes.
Yards per attempt for Russell Wilson through his career, 7.7.
That's better.
Big time throwing percentage. Take a guess at what Denver's, it's really low.
Okay, so big time throwing percentage is a combination of like attempts down the field, accuracy, not even if it's like catches, right? It's just like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a metric that's like, how often are they making big time throws?
Right.
Well, tell me what Russ's is first, and then I want to work backwards from there.
Russ's is 6.9.
Nice. I'm going to say Denver's is about 5.
3.8.
Good God.
Yes. So this is why Russell Wilson is going to have a great effect on this team, and I'll tell you even more why when we get to the wide receivers. Okay. But turnover-worthy plays, guess what Russell Wilson's is? Super low.
Percentage or just a number?
Percentage. Percentage of turnover-worthy plays that Russell Wilson is potentially involved in.
Is it under 4?
Yes, 2.7.
Wow, very nice.
Broncos quarterbacks, 4.2.
Yikes.
Adjusted completion percentage, which is, I can't remember what's all involved in that, but it's your completion percentage plus potential something else. So
I'm sure it like takes out like receiver drops and stuff like
that. Yeah. Is 76.1 for Russell Wilson. Wow. Denver quarterbacks, this is the only one that's kind of close. 72.
Okay.
On the whole, which he likes it on the whole.
I love right. Loves it.
This Russell Wilson is going to be the guy that brings back the Denver team this year. And it's just another exciting team for the AFC West. There's plenty of chance for him to bounce back after he failed to lead the league in percentage of targets thrown to the end zone for the first time since 2018.
Wow. That's
that was from last year. And that was mainly because of his, I think, because of his finger injury.
Sure.
Also, backing him up, some useless guys, Brett Ripon and Josh Johnson.
Yikes.
All right.
So when Evan was on the podcast, Evan Hoovler from Football Absurdity, when he guested when you were off the grid, he said that he thinks Russ has the chance to be like the comeback player of the year this year.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
I'll tell you why when we get to wide receivers.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's look at the running backs, all right? We all know that the running back situation is kind of convoluted because you've got super talent and it's split backfield. But you would think that Javonte Williams had more rushing yards last year than Melvin Gordon, but he didn't.
Right.
It was super close. But Melvin Gordon had like 30 more yards on the year.
Yep.
You
know what?
It wasn't even 30. It was like 15. Melvin Gordon had 918 yards. Williams had 903.
There you go. 15. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I went zero RB in our big money league draft last year, and my running backs were hits. My running backs were Daryl Henderson and Melvin Gordon, and they did fine. It's all the receivers I drafted that let me down. Like Melvin Gordon is fucking cheap right now, man. And I think Melvin Gordon splits carries 50-50 again.
In my opinion, I don't think so. I think it's going to be like 35-65. I think they're going to put, because Melvin Gordon's 29 or 30 years old this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they're going to put him more in a receiving type back line, because if you look at Javonte Williams, he's got a 96% break tackle rate.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
So there, I have a feeling they're going to start using him more as the one and two down back, and have Melvin Gordon come in on third downs. Who knows? Any guess is as good as mine or yours.
Sure.
But surprisingly, last year, even though one outpaced the other in yards, they both had the same amount of attempts at 203, which is kind of weird. Kind of weird.
They did that on purpose, right?
You think? Yeah, like it's very weird.
Because it was like one of those things where we would watch and it would be like, oh man, you know, Javonte just ripped off like that whole drive. He had like 45 yards on his own on that drive. All right, well, they're putting in Gordon again. It's like, well, right. What the fuck? Why are we
doing this? Yeah, I know. It was very, very disheartening.
Yeah.
On the whole, Javonte Williams had 7 total touchdowns, 4 rush, and 3 pass.
Okay.
Gordon had 8 touchdowns, rush, and 2 pass. So two very similar running backs, but I think Javonte Williams is, as the younger guy, they're going to lean on him more, because what if Melvin Gordon gets hurt? Then you got to worry about Javonte Williams being the whole team, and then what if he gets hurt? Then you're left with Mike Boone and Demaryius Crockett.
Sure. I always do my projections assuming everyone's healthy for all 16. But right. Like you're saying those two running backs are similar.
Right. And I always try to look at the horrible scenarios that could happen, because they always happen. Sure. You just don't know to which player it's going to happen to. And I think they need to not give as much to Gordon this year, but we'll see.
I think they both carry injury risk. Gordon, because of his age and how long he's been taking hits for, and also Javonte because of how physical of a runner he is.
Right. And they're not going to want Russell to be going crazy doing his little scrambles. They're going to script a lot of those plays to run. They're not going to want him to run around anymore.
Okay. All right.
So
do you want Javonte in round 3 of redraft, or do you want Melvin in round 7 or 8 of redraft?
Problem with that is probably round 3 I'm going to be looking at a wide receiver.
Okay. So you'd rather take the value?
I think I'd go with value of Gordon, yeah, in the later rounds. I don't think I'm going to be lucky enough to get any shares of Javonte this year. Everyone's going to be taking him too high, I think.
I'm the same way. At that range, I'd rather take CeeDee Lamb. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Yeah, exactly. But other than those two guys, they got shit for backups. So we'll see how this running back class for them pans out this year. All right, let's look at their wide receivers.
All right, I'm excited here.
All right. We've got Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, and a bunch of other scrubs. I've seen Kendall Hinton in on a few plays, but other than that, Travis Fulgham on a few plays, but I've never heard of Montrell Washington and all these other guys.
Sure.
Cortland Sutton is going to have a breakout year this year. Take away those last 2 years where he's dealing with his torn ACL, all right, with a really good quarterback that knows how to play the position. Cortland Sutton is going to be the number one wide receiver in Denver this year. Mark my words.
Okay. They are marked.
All right. They are marked. 2019, just for reference, 2019, he had 1,112 yards and 6 touchdowns. And guess who was throwing passes? Drew Lock and Joe Flacco.
Yep.
There's a lot of potential with a good quarterback for that. Jerry Jeudy, he was hurt too last year. Only 38 receptions for 467 yards, no touchdowns. I think he came back in the latter part of the year.
Okay.
But he's gonna be an interesting, how do you call it? Like spy out there. He's gonna be drawing coverage away.
You think he's Cortland a decoy?
Sutton. Yeah, he's gonna be drawing coverage away from Cortland Sutton. I don't see how you could double cover any one of these guys in the Denver. Even Tim Patrick was really good last year. 5 touchdowns, 734 yards, and 53 receptions. He's going to be good too. You can't double cover any of these guys because you're going to leave one guy exposed, and you know it's going to be awesome.
Okay, can I ask you a question then? I'm looking at rankings right now on 4 for 4, full PPR.
Sure.
Who do you want? Do you want Sutton? Or do you want Mooney?
I think I want Sutton.
Do you want Sutton or do you want Bateman?
Sutton. I don't trust Bateman. I don't like I don't want any part of Baltimore's pass game this year. It's gonna be, they're just gonna run the whole time.
Okay, so let me flip it then. Do you want Juju or Jerry Jeudy?
Ooh. I think I want Juju.
Okay. Do you want Jerry Jeudy or do you want Elijah Moore?
Damn. Yeah, probably Jeudy.
Okay. I just want to, I'm pulling up rankings. Yeah. I want to see where you got him at.
I don't trust Zach Wilson, and I think the tandem that they have with the Jets of Michael Carter and Breece Hall is going to be, they're going to rely heavily on that. They're not going to have to rely too heavily on a pass game.
I don't know, man. They got Garrett Wilson, too. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. I like the Jets passing offense, if Wilson can handle it.
Right.
All right, go on. Sorry, I had to come in and...
No, it's all right. So this isn't just a good group of wide receivers. They have a diverse and complete skill set that will help this team win on a lot of levels. So this is going to be a really good Denver team this year. What did we say earlier? What did we predict Denver at?
You took the over on Denver's wins, and I took the under.
That's right.
I'm less into it. But I have one more question then. Tim Patrick or Treylon Burks? PPR.
Good. Probably Burks.
Tim Patrick or Marvin Jones? PPR.
Probably Patrick.
Tim Patrick or full season suspension and all, DeAndre Hopkins?
He's not suspended for the whole season.
Well, no, but I'm saying like you have to roster him for the entire year.
Oh, yeah. Probably D-Hop. He's okay. Only suspended for 6 games, right?
Yeah.
So right now the Broncos' biggest weakness is their pass rush. All right.
Okay.
Their best pass rusher, Randy Gregory, has never had more than 47 pressures in a single season, where a lot of these really good pass rushers in the NFL are eclipsing like more than 80. So that's not good.
So you think this means that Russ is going to be passing a lot?
Right. But that is also like a big, that's how a lot of the AFC West is, because they have all these high powered offenses. They're kind of lacking on their defensive pressure. Like, because you don't really need to have a great defense if you're putting up 40 points a game. And I think because they have to pay a lot for these high-powered offenses, you don't get a lot of chances to pay big money for defenses.
Yeah, it's Joey Bosa and then a huge drop for everyone
else. Right. Other than that, they lost Noah Fant. No big deal. They've got plenty of other wide receivers and running backs.
What do you think about Albert O?
He's going to be good fill-in. He's obviously the guy.
Right.
And I'm excited that they drafted Greg Dulcich.
Yeah.
To develop, to have Russell Wilson as your leader and be a new player in the NFL, that you couldn't ask for a better situation.
Yeah. Dulcich was a hot rookie pick, too.
Yeah. Other than that, we got Eric Tomlinson and Eric Saubert. They're mainly going to be running blockers.
Yeah.
Albert O, last year, when did Fant get injured?
I don't know what week.
Yeah. He ended up with 33 receptions for 330 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he was a trusted person to pass to. So He'll easily develop, I think, some chemistry with Russell.
Who do you want, Albert O or Mike Gesicki?
Gesicki.
Albert O or Dawson Knox?
Knox.
Buffalo. Albert O or Cole Kmet?
Ooh. Probably Kmet.
I do too.
But that's a biased answer.
No, I think a lot of fantasy people like Kmet.
Okay.
He's going to be number 2 in an offense that, I mean, was the Green Bay offense of the last couple of years. You think, like, you know, they use tight ends.
Yeah, true.
So we'll see. All right, so you're good on Denver?
Yep.
All right, so let's move on. Let's do the 49ers. You know, Jeff Crisco, who runs Football Absurdity with Evan and Waleed, is a huge 49ers fan, so let's hope that this is going to lead to me being called out on his Twitter. actually, I have a lot of good things to say about San Francisco. I'm not going to talk about Jimmy G because I'm assuming that he's gone.
He's going to be. But as we get closer, like we just saw Baker go to Carolina.
Yep.
Like, he's only going to have like not even a month to learn the playbook. So,
right.
Something's going to have to happen soon with Jimmy G. I would think maybe this week, now that the whole Baker thing is done and all that drama's done, maybe this is where Garoppolo gets his time in the sun for this week.
Yeah, because like the market has been set.
Right, yeah.
And all right, so
just took one more team off the market for him to go to.
So I'm just going to tell you, I have a short paragraph here. I'm going to sell you on Trey Lance. All right, because I was not sold on Trey Lance before I did this, and now I am sold on Trey Lance.
Okay.
So I'm going to go on record here and say that I don't think there's any QB competition in San Francisco. I think Shanahan said, he's like, yo, Jimmy G's traded. Like, Lance is the guy. So we're just going to talk Trey Lance.
Sure.
Not super accurate, right? He was under 60% in his total work last year. But in three games, two starts and one extended appearance, he carried the ball 31 times.
Wow.
So if he starts all 17 games, that's like 180 carries. I don't think that's going to happen. But like, so I was looking at Ian Hartitz from PFF. He was saying that like, if he rushes eight times a game, can you see Trey Lance rushing the ball eight times a game?
Sure. Maybe not scripted, but scrambles.
Sure. Of the last 12 quarterbacks to have over 125 rushes in a season, which Lance at that rate would be over, 11 of them finished in the top 12 for quarterbacks points per game.
Really?
So of the last 12 quarterbacks to run 125 times in a year, 11 of them were quarterback ones points per game. The only exception was 2020 in New England, Cam Newton.
What? Okay.
So Trey Lance is like QB12 on 4-for-4. PFF's Ian Hartitz, like I was saying, he has him at like quarterback 10. Like, that's like his floor. If he rushes eight times a game statistically throughout history, like, his floor is quarterback 12.
Right.
He has the chance to be the next Jalen Hurts, like a late round, not a late round quarterback, but a quarterback you're drafting as your quarterback two in fantasy. He's the guy that's going to turn that into top five fantasy production. His accuracy is kind of suspect, but like, he has such high upside as a dual threat quarterback. And we'll talk about this in a second. His most prominent targets are yards after catch monsters.
Really?
Debo and Kittle are yards after the catch, like, beasts.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
So if Lance comes in and carries the ball 6 to 8 to 10 times a game and stays healthy, can you deny him as a top 10 quarterback? I don't think you can.
No. It's some interesting stuff there.
So, told you, man, this week we're showing out. I'm going to talk Elijah Mitchell here. Elijah Mitchell came out of nowhere to crush after Raheem Mostert went down in week one of last season.
Yeah, right? Everyone thought it was going to be Sermon.
Right. In his 11 games, he ran 202 times for 963 yards and 5 touchdowns. When Elijah Mitchell was hurt, Jeff Wilson came in, 79 carries, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns. However, Debo also had 59 carries last year. I'm going to go hard on Debo rushing stats real quick because this is fucking awesome. Debo had 365 rushing yards on 59 carries and 8 rushing touchdowns. 8.
Yeah.
Like, that's like every 6 carries he scores a touchdown. That's ridiculous. That's true. I looked it up. I had the week by week side by side. It's not like Debo only got carries when Mitchell was hurt. They used him at the same time. They were in the same backfield.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't buy the running backs were hurt, so he came in. No, it was very intentional that Debo was their best running back. So I don't think, there was that whole offseason thing where he was like, I want out of San Francisco. You guys have been using me as a running back. I don't want to do that anymore. A
couple months ago, yeah.
I think that he doesn't come anywhere close to those carries, that carry number this year. I don't think they're going to do that to him.
I don't think they're going to have to, just because, like you were saying, Lance is going to run a lot.
Right. So I think Elijah Mitchell is the starter week one. He's running back 23 on 4-for-4 for redraft. He's running back 22 on PFF and Dynasty running back 24 on Keep Trade Cut. So everyone seems to think he's a running back two in a high-volume committee, and Shanahan offenses kind of ground their running backs into dust. You know what I mean?
Right.
So he's got an injury risk, but he's a running back two on a run-first team. San Francisco drafted Tyron Davis Price in the third round, and they think that he has a three-down back potential because he's one of the best pass-blocking backs in the draft. He's like a bigger guy.
Sure.
However, when we think about Shanahan offenses featuring a ton of backs, it's not because he uses a ton of backs. It's because, like I said, like that run-heavy ground-and-pound offense gives them a lot of injuries, so they shuffle through a lot of backs.
That's a good point, yeah.
If Mitchell stays healthy, he's a steal as your running back three or running back two. But if Mitchell goes down, Davis Price could come in and win your lead. You know what I mean? Like he could do what Mitchell did last year, but I think Mitchell gets the start.
Yeah, of course they're gonna lie on the hot hand.
All right, let me give you some math real quick.
Oh, so, shit, I hate math.
I know, me too. So there's 32 teams playing in football on a given week, right?
Okay.
Of the top 24 running backs, you would assume that 24 of the 32 teams will have a running back in the top 24. Right, statistically, in performance that day. So that's 75% of teams. So let's talk Trey Lance one more time. Since 2011, only 59% of high-frequency rushing quarterbacks ended up with a running back in the top 24 in the season.
So like Russell Wilson and...
Russell Wilson and Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson... Like, only so instead of a 75% chance of a backfield having a running back in the top 24, it goes down to 57% if your quarterback is a high volume runner.
Okay.
So, only 10 running backs in the last decade with a high frequency rushing quarterback have finished in the top 10. And they are Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, LeSean McCoy, and Marshawn Lynch.
Wow.
Elijah Mitchell is none of those guys.
Huh.
So I think that he ends up being a average dude, a solid floor guy.
Sure.
But I don't
know someone you can rely on to get 10 to 15 points a week.
But I think that he is going to be overdrafted. I think people are going to draft him expecting certain things that he's just doesn't have the
skills for. I agree as well. He's not a player that's going to be on my radar just because of how much I'm expecting Shanahan's offense to be running unique. You know, like they're using other players than the conventional running back to do running plays.
Right.
So
let's talk about Debo again. Let me try to like do justice to Debo's 2021 season. 15 starts, 77 catches, 1,405 yards, 6 touchdowns, 59 carries, 365 yards, 8 scores.
So he had almost as many carries as he had catches?
Yes.
Wow. That's what I was going to ask you, if he had more carries than he had catches.
Debo Samuel last year forced more missed per carry than any football player with more than 50 carries since Marshawn Lynch in 2014.
Really?
Yes. Deebo Samuel.
Wow.
Forced more missed tackles per carry than anyone not named Marshawn Lynch in 2014. That's bonkers, right? Listen to this. He averaged 11.6 yards as a depth of target.
Okay.
His yards per catch was 18.1.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Yeah. He has that dog in him, period.
Hell yeah.
Deebo is wide receiver 7 in full PPR at 4-for-4. PFF has him at wide receiver 10. I think they're going to find a way to get Deebo the ball, period.
Sure.
So let me ask you, if we're talking PPR rankings right now, who do you want more? Deebo Samuel or Tyreek Hill?
Deebo.
My man.
I don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill, but we'll see. He'll be good, but he's not going to be good like he was with Mahomes, I don't think.
Deebo Samuel or Mike Evans?
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably go Mike Evans just because Godwin's probably not even going to be starting part of the year, right?
Right.
So Evans is going to be the guy for a little bit. Okay. I'll probably go Evans, yeah.
Last one. Deebo or Michael Pittman?
Deebo.
My man. Let's go. All right.
So, I'm going to try and get Deebo in a lot of stuff this year. I doubt I'll get a lot of them because a lot of people will be reaching for him. But
yeah, you're probably going to have to do like a mid to late redraft. Like if you're doing a snake draft, like a second round pick.
Yeah, you're going to have to actively try and get him. He's never just going to like fall into your draft position.
Remember last year in your work league when I had Cooper Kupp and Deebo Samuel and didn't make the playoffs? Anyways, Brandon Ayuk last year, he had two seasons, it seemed like. Early on in the doghouse, he had 4.1 PPR points per game.
He was a big bust. I remember I drafted him in Sean's league last year, and I was like, what the fuck? Because all the hype was on Ayuk that year, and nobody saw the Deebo shit coming.
Right. It's so funny, real quick. We were at the Fantasy Football Expo last year, me, Waleed, and Jeff Crisco, and I had taken a bunch of edibles before like the opening seminar, and the dude that ran the expo was talking about drove John Lynch, the GM of the 49ers, he drove him to and from the Hall of Fame ceremony a week before and was like, hey, blah, 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 something about fantasy, and he was like, it's Deebo. Brandon Ayuk's having a bad offseason. It's Deebo. And I swear to you, Waleed was like, no, he said it was Ayuk. He said it was Ayuk. And I'm like, no, dude. He said it was fucking Deebo. But I let Waleed convince me that he was talking up Ayuk, and I drafted Ayuk everywhere. Damn it, Waleed. Anyways, so week 8 through the NFC Championship game, Brandon Ayuk, his 4.1 PPR points went up to 11.9. So not bad. Wide receiver 25. Yeah,
that's good.
Wide receiver 25, so I don't want like a ton, right? But the switch to Lance, I think, really hurts Ayuk's upside. I think this offense is going to run most of its passing game through Kittle and Deebo, and very few high rushing offenses can support more than two receiving options on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So I am hereby declaring myself on team. I don't want very much Brandon Ayuk exposure. Danny Gray was a 7th round pick. He runs a 4.3340. He's going to come in and run very, very fast down the field, but they're not going to use him. He could be an intriguing DFS play, maybe like a Van Jefferson thing, but
yeah, for that 170-yard touchdown he catches that one game.
Yeah, I want to see his usage before anything. Just know that they have a dude that can fucking fly. Juwan Jennings is going to run out of the slot. I like Juwan Jennings. He was an undrafted rookie that was on the practice squad all his rookie year. And then last year he came in and caught 38 catches for 5 touchdowns. I don't think he scores 5 touchdowns again. I think he stays around 35 to 40 catches. Whatever. Okay. Not worried about Juwan Jennings. All right. So this is a pro George Kittle podcast, right?
Yeah.
We're pro George Kittle here. He's a lock, tight end 4, locked at worst.
Oh, I'll put him at five.
At worst. He has much stronger competition for targets than Kelce and Andrews does on their offenses. But when Kittle's out there, he's a monster. All right. George Kittle is fourth in the history of the NFL in PPR points per game. That's it. Period.
Really?
Yes. He's behind. You'll know two of the people that are he's behind. Name me a couple of the tight ends that you think are past Kittle in points per game.
Kelce.
Yep, that's one.
I don't think it's Andrews.
It's not.
Yeah, and I don't think...
I'll give you a hint. He's been trying to scam the military for free insurance for years now.
Is it Gronk?
Yeah, Gronk, okay. Kelce, and a guy named Pete Ratzlaff, who played tight end from 1953 to 1966, and then George Kittle.
When NFL was a fantasy.
Exactly. A dude that's like, no, I'm going to go into business. That's better than football.
Right.
Kittle runs a route on about 83% of his team's passing plays, and his ability to make things happen all over the field before and after the catch on a week-to-week basis means that Lance has two of the best security blankets in the league. Right? He's got Debo and Kittle. Boom.
Yeah.
All right. My last question to you before we move on. We're drafting in our big money home league this year. Half PPR, one QB. You have to pick one. Debo in round 3, Kittle in round 4, or Lance in round 11. Who you got?
Shit, 11? I think I'm taking Debo in round 3.
My man, let's go. I love Debo. Let's do it.
Yeah.
This is going to be a very big Debo stan podcast. Like, I think Debo crushes this year.
Sweet. I hope so.
All right. So now you've got the Chiefs, right?
All right. We got the Chiefs. The Chiefs.
Hey, that's great. But who are the Chiefs?
Yeah, let's take a look at what's going on down in Kansas City. So we had some obvious subtractions to their offense this year.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill's gone. They also got rid of Pringle, went to the Bears. Who else left the wide out?
I think DeMarcus Robinson also left.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. I knew there was one other guy.
Yeah.
So we got Mr. Patrick Mahomes. 66% completion percentage last year. 436 to 658 for almost 5,000 yards. And 37 touchdowns. That's baller.
Yeah. And that was like a bad year. Finger quotes. Bad year.
Right. It was kind of a bad year. Because we can look at how teams played Mahomes throughout the year. Because for the first 6 weeks, Mahomes averaged 25.6 fantasy points a game. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
After that, week 7 on, he averaged only 18.8. He kind of had a slump where everyone was like questioning, is Patrick Mahomes really the real deal?
Right.
Is he falling back on like, he got that giant contract and now he's going to become Joe Flacco kind of thing?
It was big, like, have defenses figured out Patrick Mahomes.
Right. So yeah. The Chiefs responded to that. They figured out that teams were playing too high safeties against them. They responded to that with ended up on the year with the third most screen passes and an NFL high in receiving yards after the catch week 7 and later. Andy Reid picked up on that and just started doing short stuff because they knew Mahomes was passing too far every time. This should be another good year for Mahomes. I don't think there's going to be any regression outside of him getting injured, which I really hope doesn't happen. I was going to say, because if that does happen, God help the Kansas City Chiefs, because they're putting in Chad Henne.
Hell yeah. All right, here's, when you say you're expecting about the same, I will say this. Mahomes had over 400 rushing yards this year on scrambles.
Okay.
So if there's a spot to regress, it's his rushing statistics. But I think there's a chance that he's hyper efficient this year.
Sure. It's another year where he could get almost 5,000, if not more. I think his touchdowns will be right around the same. Although he could have one of those Tom Brady, Peyton Manning years, he'd get 50.
Yeah.
It's really how the game scripts are going to go and how lucky he gets.
Yep.
Interesting fact, they did pick up two rookie quarterbacks this year, Kansas City. Shane Beauchele from SMU and Dustin Crum from Kent State.
Dustin Crum.
I don't know what that's all about, but they picked up two rookie quarterbacks.
I mean, maybe you could develop a guy who's going to learn from Patrick fucking Mahomes, you would think.
True, right, yeah.
Even though, I imagine it's probably pretty hard because he'll be like, all right, here's what you do. Just close your eyes and be, parallel to the ground and throw it with all your wrist. And you'll be fine. Just throw it 40 yards down the field like that. And these guys are going to be what?
Have you ever thrown a 50-yard pass sidearm?
Right. All right, so I know that Kansas City is set at quarterback. What about in the backfield? Right.
All right. So let's look at the running backs. Nothing too exciting. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has always been hyped. I remember his, 2 years ago he was a rookie? Everyone was like, this guy's going to be awesome. No, didn't translate into very much.
Right.
119 attempts for 517 yards. Only a 4.3 average. Only 4 touchdowns, only 19 receptions for 129 yards and 2 touchdowns. Interesting correlation this year. They picked up Ronald Jones from Tampa, who played in Tampa last year. I could kind of see maybe like we were talking about in Denver, Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams kind of thing going on this year with that. Because Ronald Jones wasn't that bad. He only got overshadowed because Fournette turned it on and just started becoming the running back that Tampa needed last year, and he kind of got pushed aside. I think he's still got juice left in his tank. I mean, even with Fournette, he still had 101 rushing attempts for 428 yards, 4 touchdowns. Uh-huh. He wasn't used very much in the pass game. 10 receptions. So I think it could end up potentially being one of those tandem situations. Because I think they've lost a lot of faith in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that's what it seems like from the numbers. I mean, Andy Reid's a great coach, and he knows how to put together a run game. And it's just clearly evident that this guy, they've got no confidence in him.
I mean, do you?
No. Otherwise, they've got Jerick McKinnon and Derek Gore as well, but whatever.
So in PPR, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on 4-for-4 is running back 26. Who do you want? Do you want CEH or do you want Chase Edmonds?
Shit. Probably Chase Edmonds.
Do you want CEH or do you want AJ Dillon?
AJ Dillon for sure.
Do you want CEH or do you want Damian Harris?
Harris.
Do you want CEH or do you want Tony Pollard?
Shit. I mean, even Pollard looks good when Zeke's goes down.
Okay, so that's about where you're at with CEH.
Yeah, I'm not big on him at all. One of the biggest strengths for Kansas City this year is their offensive line. And that's really good, and I think that's why Mahomes can do and has done as well as he has in the past. Creed Humphrey was the best graded NFL center as a rookie last year.
Yeah.
As a rookie. Trey Smith, they got in the sixth round, was a steal. He did really well. And then they've got Brown and Thuney, also who played very well in their first season with the Chiefs. So they've got some good weapons to protect Mahomes, and I think that's gonna really, and especially those guys are super young, and being number one as a rookie center last year, it's just way more room for improvement. They could be really good this year.
Sure.
The line.
Yeah.
So I really like that. Let's move on to wide receivers. They picked up Juju. All right. And everyone thinks Juju's kind of older. He's really not. He's only 25 years old. He entered the NFL at 20 years old in 2017.
He was on the same UCLA team as Velus Jones.
For real?
Yeah.
As like a senior when he was a freshman or something?
Yeah.
He was injured for most of last year, but he has a good chance to bounce back this year. Interesting stats on Juju. Since entering the league in 2017, he has 1,767 yards after the catch, making him ranked 10th among wide receivers. Also, 855 yards after contact, making him 14th.
Wow.
So this is actually going to be... He's not going to be the replacement for Tyreek Hill. We all know that. He's not going to be the replacement. But he's good enough to handle some of that target load, which is going to be very good. And to divide it up with Mecole Hardman and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Valdes-Scantling, I think, got a lot of overshadowed by Davante Adams when he was in Green Bay. The guy's 6'4", 206 pounds. He's going to be a really good wide receiver with Patrick Mahomes. He only had 26 receptions from Aaron Rodgers and 430 yards and 3 touchdowns last year. But he's got a lot more target opportunities, I think, with this offense.
Okay.
Mecole Hardman is, once again, no one's ever going to replace Tyreek Hill. Mecole Hardman's still going to be that deep threat. Not bad numbers last year, being the number, what was he, number two? Was he number two or three last year?
He was he was almost four.
Well, he still had 59 receptions for 700 yards and 2 touchdowns, but
yeah,
I mean, still really good. But the person I'm most excited about for this offense this year is Mr. Sky Moore. All right. He can translate into someone that Mahomes can depend on every game. His freshman year, when this guy was 18 years old, granted it was with Western Michigan, he played all 13 games. He played 13 games, he had 802 yards and 3 touchdowns. His sophomore year, he only played 3 games. He must have been injured. The next year was one of the best years. You couldn't ask for a better year.
Okay.
12 games, 95 receptions, 1,292 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
That's sick.
From a Western Michigan quarterback. This guy's going to be good.
Like, he played against, you know, Mac defenders, right, but he also had Mac quarterbacks.
Right. We're talking NIU, Eastern Michigan, Kent State. Yeah.
So before we get too far away, I want to find out your price check on Juju. Juju or Amari Cooper?
Juju.
Juju or Gabe Davis?
Juju.
Juju or Hunter Renfro?
Renfro.
Very interesting.
Renfro's going to get his. And we also can't forget that Josh Gordon is still listed on the depth chart for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fuck yeah, you never know, baby. Okay, so do you like Sky Moore in redraft too, or is it only Dynasty?
I mean, really, yeah. I mean, Dynasty makes the most sense. But if, like, it gets down there, and I'm in, like, one of the later rounds of the draft, and I'm just like, screw it, I might take a chance on him.
Okay.
It's not going to be anyone I'm targeting. Just because we have no basis of what his chemistry is like
Right.
But yeah, we lost Tyreek Hill, but we gained, I think, a decent amount more assets. So this team's still going to be really good at the wide receiver position. We don't need to talk a lot about tight ends because it's fucking Travis Kelce.
It's Travis Kelce.
He's the man.
Right.
The only thing I will say, and I made this prediction last year, I don't know if it was on the podcast, but if Travis Kelce goes down, watch out for Noah Gray.
Okay. I know you're a Noah Gray believer.
He's got the same body dimensions as Kelce. He may not be as good, but he's a better pass catcher than Blake Bell and Jody Fortson, who are mainly in on run block plays.
Yeah, no shit.
So, and he also did have a touchdown last year.
Okay. Noah Gray.
Yeah.
Put that in your back pocket.
Other than that, Mr. Kelce, 1,125 yards, 9 touchdowns on 92 receptions. Just God numbers.
He's going to crush.
Yeah. He's going to get his. So, to end with the Chiefs, I want to say, just like Denver's biggest weakness, their biggest weakness is pass rush and edge rushing.
Well, they tried. We'll see what they did because they.
I know. Well, hold on. Okay. The trade for Frank Clark killed them. It did. But they drafted George Karlaftis, so we'll see if that turns into anything. But obviously, Karlaftis can't be the whole pass rush. So, their biggest weakness, once again, for most of the AFC West teams, is their pass rush.
Yeah, it's a question mark for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one last question for you then before we do Arizona and wrap it up. Travis Kelce, let's say Travis Kelce plays in every game this year, or like maybe misses one or two.
Sure.
What's the lowest that Travis Kelce goes? Tight end what?
Wait, so how many games? Say he plays all the games?
Say he plays every game this year or maybe misses one game.
Yeah.
What's his lowest possible ranking by the end of the year?
Oh, you mean if there's like some regression? I don't think he goes under 3.
Okay, so his a down year,
he'll still be the number 3, yeah.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. That was what I was looking for. All right, so we'll move on from Kansas City to Arizona. We're already at about an hour power through this. We're going to fawn a little bit over the Cardinals here.
We did some good research.
Hell yeah, we did. All right, I'm going to sell you on Arizona because I am now super hot on Arizona.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the short guy. We're going to start with the little man, Kyler Murray. The fantasy community right now is pretty high on Kyler.
Yeah.
Super flex dynasty quarterback 6 on keep trade cut.
Really?
4 for 4 redraft quarterback 5. I'm going to bring back Ian Hartitz from PFF. He's wondering if Murray is quarterback 1 this year.
That's a bold prediction.
Luckily, looking at Cliff Kingsbury's offenses, it's kind of easy to make that case. The Cardinals have run the sixth most total plays over the past 3 seasons.
Okay.
So his opportunity is through the roof.
Right.
Kyler, and you can't deny, Kyler's absolutely looked like a star at times.
Yeah.
The problem is he's uneven, right? So he even when he had that like rocket red hot start last year, he had some games that were like no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, like not great.
Yeah. Well, I didn't like his attitude in this offseason. I don't know what that was all about, but I think he came back and was like, yeah, he's fine now or whatever.
I'll tell you a secret. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury's offense is very good. I just think he has a great quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, that could be said too.
So Murray's uneven, but when he's on, he's fucking on, and you can't deny it. In 2020, he averaged 50 yards rushing a game, but this year it was down to about 30. But still, like 30 rushing yards a game, like that's 75% of a 1 passing touchdown, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So Kyler does have quarterback 1 potential this season. His weapons are going to enhance his accuracy in the deep ball game. Hopkins will do well when he's done with suspension. And Kyler's former Oklahoma teammate, Hollywood Brown, is here, which we'll talk about in a minute. Sure. All I'm gonna say is that Kyler's quarterback rating was over 100 when throwing go routes.
Like his passer rating?
Yeah, it was over 100 when he's targeting guys running streaks down the field. Yeah. So
that's picture really that freaking good.
Picture that with Hollywood Brown. Kyler has the weapons. He has one of the fastest, speedy offenses in the league in terms of pace of play and actual team speed. And I think he could be a dark horse MVP candidate. So I am all in on Kyler Murray.
Okay.
So, James Conner. I'm going to tell you right now, James Conner is not a bell cow running back. Do you know that James Conner's never had 1,000 yards rushing in a season?
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he did like 2 years ago.
No. 900.
Oh, shit.
He's never started more than 12 games in a single year. But last year...
injury, right?
Yeah. Last year, his touchdown rate was fucking bonkers. Fucking bonkers. He had 239 touchdowns last year and scored 18 touchdowns.
Oh, my God.
I know. James Conner's running back 12 on 4-for-4 PPR. He's dynasty running back 27 on keep trade cut, even though he's so old and beat up. And running back 15 on the Fantasy Pros expert consensus rankings. So let's break it down a little bit. James Conner ended last year running back 5 in total points with 239 in half PPR. So to be a top 12, you need about 200 points on the year. So sure. If you pencil in, Conner gets about 30 catches every year, so there's 15 points for about 300 receiving yards. So that's 30, so we're up to 45 total points on the year. Say he carries the ball 200 times again. We can expect his yardage to probably go up from 750 to maybe say like 900. Right?
Okay. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So now with catches, receiving yards, and rushing yards, we're at about 135 points. So to get back to running back 12 and be a return on investment, he would need 11 touchdowns. So if you assume a career average year for James Conner, you want to draft him at his spot right now, you have to want him or expect him to score double-digit touchdowns this year for it to be an accurate return on investment.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, I think.
So if you think he can, then smash it where he's at. But I don't think so. I think he probably ends up around somewhere running back 16 to 18. Like, okay. I think he's a fade, but a very slight fade.
Yeah.
All right. Daryl Williams. They signed Daryl Williams a couple months ago. He might be this year what James Conner was last year for the offense. Like, Eno Benjamin was supposed to be the number two before Williams was signed late in the offseason. But we got to remember that Benjamin only dressed for 9 games last year and only played on 15% of the offensive.
Really?
Yeah. Kingsbury has talked up Benjamin lately, but this is the backfield to go to monitor going into training camp. Connor's never stayed healthy. The volume to go around is fucking bonkers, right?
Right, yeah.
We've seen Daryl Williams do pretty well as a lead back and as a receiving back, so my money is on him to be a stud handcuff with the chance to shine in case of injury. I'm not a big handcuff guy, but I think Daryl Williams could come in and win your league if Conner goes down. And
yeah,
I don't think you can, unless you have a big bench, I'm not taking him in redraft because he's a handcuff.
No. You got to have like at least 6 or 8 bench spots, probably even more than 6. But
yeah, but you know, if Daryl Williams is a league winner next year, you heard it here first.
There you go.
I don't bet on injury, but if Conner goes down, wheels the fuck up for Daryl Williams. All right, so let's talk receivers. I got a lot to say. DeAndre Hopkins right now is a buy. He'll be out the first 6 games, but aside from last year after the injury, he's played in almost every game possible. He's like an Iron Man. Last year, he scored in all but 3 of the games before the game he was injured in, and even in that game he was injured in against Green Bay, he had a touchdown taken off the ball. So he was scoring a lot. Pre-injury, per game, 4.3 catches a game, 61 yards, and 0.87 touchdowns. So he's got a chance to give you, you know, 4 catches, 60 yards, and a 90% chance of a touchdown. I want that constantly.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't care if he misses the first 6 games. I want him at this discount because when he comes back, I think Hollywood Brown's going to help open up the field for Hopkins a lot. Sure. Half PPR last year, he was getting 12.6 points per game, which made him wide receiver 17 overall. Right now, because of the suspension, you can get him so cheap, dude. Wide receiver 57 on 4 for 4.
Crap.
Yeah, hold, like, buy it now. He's the 37th wide receiver taken in best ball drafts. He's got a limited ceiling because Kyler Murray likes to distribute the ball to a lot of people, but he's a monster in the red zone and will most likely lead the team in receiving touchdowns by the end of the year. So there could be 2 alphas in this offense, and I believe there will be with the acquisition of Hollywood Brown. I read some very anti-Hollywood Brown propaganda while doing research, but I do agree with one thing. Him being drafted at wide receiver 16 in best ball right now is taking him at his absolute ceiling, right?
Okay.
He's ranked as dynasty wide receiver 25 on keep trade cut, and for redraft, he's 19, wide receiver 19 on 4 for 4, wide receiver 22 on PFF. So,
damn.
Look, he caught 5 passes for more than 20 yards downfield last year, and 4 were for touchdowns. So he was electric, but
yeah.
He had 7 drops last year.
That's 15th
in the league. Here's the problem. So many of those drops were for potential touchdowns and made low light reels that I think that we forget that, like, sure, he had some drop problems. Remember last year, all we heard was like, Hollywood Brown, he drops open passes. He gets open. He drops the ball. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know who led the league in drops last year?
Kelsey.
Nope, it was Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, wow.
Jamar Chase had 11 drops last year. So, like, people remember those drops when you're open and you don't score later on. So,
that's true.
Brown had his best professional career last year. He's reuniting with his college quarterback and best friend. So I think there's a chance that he ends up as a decent wide receiver too. He should not be your wide receiver.
No.
Especially after Hopkins comes back, right?
Right.
So Kyler spreads his targets around a lot. In weeks 1 through 8, Hopkins had 46 targets. Kirk had 42 targets. And the combination of A.J. Green and Antoine Wesley combined for 46. The running backs had 41, and Rondale got 35. So it's pretty equal, right?
Yeah, not to mention, yeah, they have so many targets. Once Hopkins comes back, he could totally fade away.
Right. Last year, Hollywood, with his production, was on 146 targets. I don't think he sees 146. Maybe 120? Maybe 110?
Sure.
So I think there's his ceiling is about 146, but I think there's a transfer regression. Kyler's deep ball is scary, and Hollywood will score some deep touchdowns and be a major threat, but I think he's being overdrafted at wide receiver 16 right now.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know who's being underdrafted right now? Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore. I'm going to say that again for emphasis.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe any
of
that.
Hang on. Just hear me out. Rondale Moore is wide receiver 67 on 4 for 4. PFF has him at 45.
Really?
So why the difference, right?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you can be of one of two minds here on Rondale Moore. On one side, you're either thinking, this dude's going to be a gadget player forever. But on the other side, they're like, yo, listen to the coach speak and the early depth chart stuff. Like, does he have Christian Kirk's role going into this year? You know, the Christian Kirk role that was targeted 91 times last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's potential, but
so, I don't see it. Do you think that Rondale Moore starts in the slot for the Arizona Cardinals?
I could see it.
Because Rondale Moore, did you know that Rondale Moore caught 54 passes last year?
Yeah, I remember he was like a big free agent acquisition on the waiver wire.
There was a game where he caught like 12 passes, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the problem is. You know how we were talking earlier, like, Debo Samuel's average depth of target is 11 yards or whatever.
Yeah.
Rondale Moore's average depth of target last year was 1.2 yards.
What the fuck?
1.2 yards. So if he gets some of the Kirk spots, I think he crushes this year. I think he crushes. If he takes the Kirk role, that's an extra 30 targets. The slot last year, the average depth of target for slot routes in Arizona was 13.3, which I know you're not a math guy. That seems to me 12 yards further than Rondale Moore's was last year.
Yeah, so that's true.
He's dynasty wide receiver 53 on keep trade cut. So I might poke around a little bit. Sure. AJ Green and Antoine Wesley are the other outside wide receiver right now, and who knows returns from suspension.
All right.
Lastly, talk tight end. The hits just keep coming, and they don't stop coming for this Cardinals offense, and they continue to keep coming. In 9 games with Kyler, Zach Ertz had 79 targets in 9 games, 41 catches, 359 yards, and besides Mark Andrews, was the most targeted tight end
in the draft. He translated well when he got traded.
Here's the problem. He didn't score in those games with Kyler.
Oh, that's true.
He scored 2 touchdowns in Arizona, but those were in a game that Colt McCoy started. So, Zach Ertz, I think, is going to get a ton of work. But the question is, can he score touchdowns? It doesn't matter if you catch 60 yards, you know, 4 catches for 60 yards if you don't score. I need that touchdown.
Yeah, right.
So, Ertz got a big contract extension to continue to be the guy at tight end for Arizona for at least a year or two. It's like a 3-year deal, right?
Yeah.
It's a 3-year, $31 million deal, $17 million in guarantees. You're paying him to play.
Right.
Ertz is tight end 8 on 4-for-4 in redraft, tight end 10 on PFF. He's available in round 9 basketball drafts. I kind of like Ertz. I kind of like Ertz at tight end 8.
Yeah, if he's there, I might be able to take him. Yeah.
So, do you think Ertz ends up? Is there a chance that Ertz has a better year than Dallas Goedert?
I think that's a potential. Yeah, and I wouldn't be ashamed to have Ertz on my team. I'm obviously not going to get any of those top 5 tight ends, but I wouldn't mind having him.
Ertz or TJ Hockenson?
TJ.
Ertz or Pat Freiermuth?
Ertz.
Ertz or Dallas Goedert?
Oh. Probably Ertz. I'm not liking the narrative for Philly and Jalen Hurts. I saw an article when I was looking up stuff earlier today that like had Jalen Hurts as like the projected number 5 quarterback this year. I'm like, fuck you. That's not going to happen.
So Trey McBride, let's wrap up with Trey McBride. All right. Sure. Trey McBride was the consensus tight end 1 in this year's class and landed in a terrible short-term spot for his fantasy stuff. Right.
Yeah, shocking draft pick by the Cardinals.
Isn't it funny that so many people compared his game to Dallas Goedert, which means, being on the bench behind Zach Ertz is like exactly where he's at.
Yep.
I think in my guide, I described Trey McBride as the draft's best route runner at tight end with the best hands and above average blocking. So he's got potential. I don't want him in redraft. In Dynasty, I still think Trey McBride is a buy. And I think since he landed in a bad position, I think people are going to be impatient and you can get him cheaper than he.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair assessment, yeah.
I would trade a 2023 second for Trey McBride right now.
Sure.
So according to Keep Trade Cut, just Dynasty, McBride is the Dynasty tight end 15, which is actually pretty good. I think that's pretty accurate.
Wow, Dynasty 15?
He's a little bit ahead of Albert O. He's a little bit ahead of David Njoku. And he's 3 spots ahead of Dynasty tight end 18, Zach Ertz.
Nice.
Zach Ertz was on the field for 70% of Arizona's offensive snaps last year. So I think Trey McBride is going to be a good long-term thing. But this year, I'm out.
Yeah, no.
I'm fucking out.
Yep.
All right. Kenny Powers. I really like Rondale Moore this year. I fucking love Deebo Samuel this year. I think Lance is a buy this year. I think DeAndre Hopkins, I will sit him at the end of my bench for 6 games and get 0 points and be fine with it.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm willing to take that risk, but I don't know. We'll see.
I think you and I are going to end up like fist fighting each other this year during our big money league draft.
Probably. Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should live stream it. We should do like an episode that's recording of us doing our draft live.
Sure. Well, I guess it depends what day it is.
I mean, whatever. All right. So next week we're moving on. So we're doing, we did the South and we did the West.
I already wrote down the East. We'll do the North last.
Okay.
And I just looked it up. So I did the AFC East earlier. So I'll do the NFC East this time.
Okay. So I get the AFC East. That's New England, Buffalo, Miami, and the Jets, right?
Yep. And I got Dallas, Washington, Philly, and the Giants. The shittiest conference in the league.
Hell yeah.
Division in the league.
Can't wait. All right. So for all of us here at TH Fantasy, Craig, Ryan, myself, we say have a good night. We'll see you guys next week. Episode 40, dude. 40.
Yeah. Hell yeah. 40.
That's like,
I'm going to have to do some deep dives on some players. We'll get some good ones.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. All right, well, I think that's it for us tonight. So, Ryan, you have a great night. Unless you got do you have any strong takes for us before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered a lot of bases with all of our stuff this week. So,
Trey Lance ends up top 8 quarterback. There's my
bold prediction.
There it is. All right, good night, everybody.
All right, have a good evening.
All right, Craig, how do you leave?
Craig, get the fuck out.
Craig, fuck you. Has that dog in him.